America. From the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest on this Monday night, welcome, friends, somewhere between abnormal and paranormal. The skies have cleared out just a bit. The temperature has significantly lowered, and it's starting to appear to be fall here in the Pacific Northwest. I trust that those of you who were with me on the Saturday night program have your power back if you lost power over the weekend. We've heard that most of those folks have power back. I'm sure there's folks who still don't have power. So if you're one of those people and you're listening to the program tonight, whether you're in your car, whether you're on your cell phone battery or your car battery beaming the signal tonight, shout out to you. We appreciate you. Tonight on the program, a very fascinating subject we're going to be discussing. It's one like you always have to bring an open mind to, but in that case, it's not anything out of the ordinary. It's right in the paranormal variety. As we talk about a subject that could be a little bit far-fetched, a little bit out there, or a little bit otherworldly. Occasionally, from time to time, we like to have those discussions and ponder what maybe really could be. Certified Chinese translator and court interpreter Samuel Chong is my guest tonight to share a story of alien contact to another planet, perhaps a planet that is occupied by an ET race. It's not Samuel who had these personal experiences, but rather a friend of his, or someone he befriended after reading the book and becoming fascinated with it. He had to make sure that it was properly translated and then re-released. Samuel, welcome to the program.
Nice to be here.
Is that about an accurate statement?
Yes, it is. It's about a book, The Oba Prophecy.
And this is a book that you first found out about how?
I was searching on Amazon looking for books of ET contactees because I was always fascinated by stories of people who had communications with ETs that had the advanced civilization. I always wanted to have a shortcut of advancing faster and learn from ETs.
And so what about this specific one spoke to you?
Well, in the very beginning, after I read the book, I thought it was just another ET contactee's book. But then the more I read into it, the more I found out there were fascinating, verifiable facts contained in the book that we actually can relate to, we can verify in our world, and also explains a lot of things or stories in the Bible. I did not believe a single word in the Bible before, but after reading this book, it connects all the dots.
You say verifiable facts, so can you bring some of those to the forefront?
Yes, for example, after the author, Michel Demarquet, was taken into their spaceship, they disinfected him using yellow light and blue light. Blue light, after I did some research, I found out that it has antibacterial, antiviral effects. There's a research paper written by a professor from Harvard Medical University compiling all the different experiments showing that blue light indeed had this kind of properties of killing bacteria and viruses. So this is just one thing. The other thing is that it also talks about the facts that the author, Michel Demarquet, wouldn't have known by him on his own. For example, he talked about there's a tomb of Jesus Christ in Shingo Village, Japan. Remember, this book was written in the late 80s. There was no internet back then. And the author, Michel, never visited Japan. It's impossible for him to know that there is a tomb of Jesus Christ in that remote village of Japan. And this book details a lot of the stories or some of the inconsistencies in the Bible.
You mentioned the significance of blue light, but I believe you say that there was a yellow light involved during the contact. Do you understand what the significance of that to be?
Yes, I did some research. Yellow light also has its properties too, but not in the sense of killing bacteria or viruses. It's probably used as something to stimulate, or maybe as a catalyst for the blue light to have more effect on the properties.
Okay, so Michel was taken on this spaceship when?
He was taken on the spaceship in June of 1987.
From his home?
From his home in Australia. He was living in a city near Cairns, Australia. So in the middle of the night, at around 12 o'clock midnight, he woke up suddenly. He didn't know why, but he left a note to his wife saying that I'll be gone for 10 days and there's no need to worry about me. So after he left a note to his wife, he walked outside of his home or house and then to the yard, and then he was lifted up, and then he was taken into a parallel universe where he saw a lot of strange people. They explained to him that the reason of taking him into a parallel universe first was to prevent other people on Earth of seeing them, and also to explain to him what really happened in the Bermuda Triangle and also some of the missing people in the national parks in the U.S. as documented by David Politis. It's very fascinating. It really explains a lot of the mysteries that I had always wondered about, such as really the Bermuda Triangle, the Great Pyramid, who built the Great Pyramid, for what purposes, and also the meaning of life. A lot of very interesting facts were revealed in this book.
So did he describe the parallel universe besides interacting with, other beings?
Yes. He said that he saw a lot of people wearing medieval clothes. And also he saw savages who really couldn't communicate in modern languages. He was told that in a parallel universe, time stops and people there don't feel any pain. And they don't feel any hunger or thirst. So this really coincides with some of the reports or case studies of David Platter saying that people, after they found the corpse of the people who died or vanished mysteriously, they seem to run to their bones. Like they seem that they didn't feel any pain. And I think that these two facts really relate to each other. It says something about a parallel universe.
What about maybe the people, because you mentioned the missing people, a phenomenon that I have been fascinated, but many times we don't find a body.
Exactly. Well, it also mentioned in the book that a lot of people who were sucked into this parallel universe never come back because they don't know how to get out. And even if they did get out, they were seen as crazy people because a lot of times they don't remember what really happened. And even if they told us what happened, we wouldn't have believed them. So most of the people remain in the parallel universe and they never come back.
This is quite revealing for me on a personal level because I have been a long subscriber of a parallel universe, or as some would say, a portal. To describe many paranormal events. In fact, the missing persons is one that I've thought is very, very possible, that they walk through, a doorway and they just disappear. And either they come back through that doorway or they do not. But it's not very a popular opinion, especially if you bring it up around researchers. They don't necessarily think that helps their belief in say flesh and blood animals such as Bigfoot. If we're saying a parallel universe exists, well, then we must be saying that people are not having encounters with actual beings. But that's not what we're saying here, because it may take a portal or an entryway or a doorway in order to have that encounter, as you've just shared with us.
Exactly. And the portal or the doorway in the Bermuda Triangle is probably one of the most well-known one. But there are a lot of other entry points or spheres of parallel universe floating around. in space or near Earth. If you read about the case studies of David Pilatus, a lot of the missing 411 cases happened in on high altitude in national parks. So just imagine the portals are actually spheres floating around, and they change their locations. So people around that kind of sphere or the portal, they got stuck into that and they vanish instantaneously. So there are cases in which people just disappear in seconds, and the people could hear their voices but couldn't see them. So this is a very interesting natural phenomenon on Earth.
Did Michelle give you any indication what it was like on that parallel universe besides interacting with other beings?
Well, he says that it's just a very strange place. And when he was lifted up, everything appeared to be like a mist, in bluish color, kind of a, like misty feel. And then he couldn't see his house anymore. And then suddenly he appeared in this kind of strange environment. And there were savages using sticks and trying to attack him. And then it was his host, Tao, the ET from Theoba, who really helped him out by killing a few of the savages who tried to attack them. He also saw people just running around or walking around and without a lot of purposes, because remember, like, time stops over there and people don't feel any hunger, thirst, or pain. So it's a very, very kind of like a hard to describe and hard to imagine place for people to be.
So you said he started out in like this parallel universe. Did he then go on to an actual planet?
Well, after transitioning from the parallel universe, he was taken into their spaceship. Their spaceship was kind of like a...
So this was a second spaceship, and it was different than the first one?
Well, he really, arriving at the parallel universe, he really didn't go on any spaceship. He was just lifted up to the parallel universe.
So he wasn't taken from his yard on a spaceship? He just floated up?
That's correct, to the parallel universe.
Okay.
And then he took on the spaceship and then went to a planet called Arima X3, where he saw the aftermath of a nuclear war. He saw people, deformed people, because of the nuclear war, and only a few people were surviving on that planet. Everything was kind of like a devastating scene. And he also saw a lot of strange animals because of the mutation from the radiations. His host, Tao, was... And her people were collecting samples on that planet.
The name of that planet again was what?
Arima X3. That planet is not that far from Earth, but it had a very devastating nuclear war 150 years ago.
So what happened after that point? He sees the aftermath of a nuclear war on this planet that was annihilated, and then what?
And then they went on their way to the planet Theoba, which is a Category 9 planet. According to this group of ETs, there are a total of 9 different categories of planets in the universe. We on Earth is Category 1, and then their planet Theoba is Category 9, the highest level of category in the universe. So he was taken onto this... this planet. Then before arriving, he saw that the planet is very beautiful in the sense that it seems that it is surrounded with a golden mist, and very beautiful, very bright light was shining from that planet. And there he started his adventure.
Okay, so this planet, this is not the planet known as Planet Nine, is it?
Not Planet Nine, but they have a name. It's called Theoba. It's Category Nine, the highest level of category. And according to them, there are only three planets in our galaxy that are in Category Nine.
The others would be?
They didn't tell the other two planets, but they say that Earth and also the planet that the Greys came from, the Grey aliens came from, are Category One. So I was thinking if the U.S. government is collaborating with the Little Greys, we are learning from the people from Category One planet, not from a higher level. So if we are to learn from the best, we should learn from the people.
Okay.
From Theoba.
The story is not over. We've got much more with Samuel Chong. But Samuel, how did you meet Michelle?
Well, in the postscript of the book, it says that there are more incredible things that he was not allowed to write in the book because we are far from understanding them. It got me very curious about that because according to the content of the book, it's already fascinating and incredible enough for me to read. And what's more incredible, so I was determined to look for him. I found out on the internet that he was living in Vietnam at that time. So I searched on the internet and found some photos taken by some of the tourists who happened to meet him. So I decided to fly to Vietnam, that island in southern Vietnam. After I landed, I showed one of the photos to a taxi driver, and then he took me to where he was living at that time. I didn't know his exact address. I just showed a picture to the taxi driver, and I found him.
Okay, and the conversation went like what?
Well, he was taking an afternoon nap after he woke up, after he learned that I was looking for him because of this book. He was very annoyed at me because he was a very private person. He didn't want me to bother him.
And so you persisted, I'm guessing.
Yes, I persisted and I tried to play chess with him. I tried to engage him with a casual conversation. And then the day before I was about to leave, he showed me a contract that he signed with a Chinese publisher. That publisher paid him $2,000 to have the book published in China, but he never heard from him again. He wanted to find out what happened to the publisher. So he asked me to follow up. I was very eager to please him, and I'm very glad to. I gladly took on the job and contacted the publisher. It turned out that the publisher was so afraid of the Chinese government and censorship that they decided not to publish the book at that time.
Did it? Okay, so you obviously heard some of these stories, and we'll come back to that after we finish telling the story because it might then make sense at that point in time. But what was the resolution of getting the book republished?
Well, he asked me to find other publishers in a Chinese-speaking country, whether it's China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, or even Singapore. So I did a lot of cold callings and also contact. I made a lot of contacts. And then finally, through an old friend of mine, it happened that her mother was one of the managers of the publishing company. And then she retired, but she was working as a consultant. So I suggested the book to her and she made it happen. But the book was published as a science fiction by one of the largest publishers in China. It actually became a bestseller, one of the bestsellers in China and the bestseller in Taiwan. Michelle DeMarquet was very happy. And before the book got published in China, somehow he knew that it was going to get published. He said that he could tell me that one thing he was not allowed to write in the book, but I would have to fly to Vietnam and personally visit him again for the second time because he had to tell me in person.
Did you ever get that opportunity?
Yes, I did. I visited him the second time. Within 5 minutes of meeting him, he told me what that was about. But he said Tao, the ET, told him not to disclose it to any other people because it concerns a lot of very, very important information.
back to the story. We left on the planet of Teuba, the second planet in which Mitchell was taken to after arriving on a parallel universe, was then taken on a spaceship to a planet and observed nuclear war, landed on a second planet. Were the beings any different on the planet than they were in that parallel universe that you described earlier?
Well, the parallel universe was actually not far from Earth. It's actually in space near the Earth, near Earth. And people, what Michelle saw were actually people from Earth, some from ancient times, some from medieval times, but they were actually people from Earth. There he visited the planet that had a nuclear war. It's called Arimo X3. There he saw the people looking very similar to the Polynesians, people living on the islands on the Pacific Ocean. So they had black hair, like brown skin, like people living on the islands. But the people living on the planet Theoba, the Category 9 planet, they were really a very beautiful race of people. They had blonde hair. They were really tall, like 8 foot or 9 foot tall. They have really whitish skin. They're like Nordic people, but they're hermaphrodites. They have both male and female sexual organs, and they have a lot of the supernatural abilities. They could perform all the miracles performed by Jesus. They could levitate. They could materialize objects. They can actually affect people's way of thinking. They can communicate via telepathy. They can also disappear and also shapeshift. They can heal all the diseases that you can think of. And they can also raise the dead. And it's fascinating how this group of people can do. And they're just like omnipotent people.
So it seemed like these beings were much more advanced then.
Exactly. And they have all the knowledge. They actually explained to Michel de Marquet a lot of interesting facts about the history of Earth, where black people came from, where yellow people came from, where the Caucasians came from, where the Jewish people came from. And they also said that there were really alien stations on the far side or the backside of the moon. And the Mars in the ancient past, about 300,000 years ago, there was life on Mars. But since the core of Mars cooled down, Mars lost its atmosphere, so there's no longer any life forms on Mars. So a lot of recent evidence suggests the same thing. I remember this book was written in the late 80s. So it really tells a lot of things that are to be proven and actually has been proven by modern science or scientists.
And then how did he arrive back at home?
Well, the planet Theoba was really far away from Earth. They used a way of transportation called supersubstantiation. It's similar to teleportation, in which after going into deep space, instantaneously they arrived, they used teleportation to arrive at a different location in the universe, in deep space. And then they landed on the Theoba, on the planet Theoba. Similarly, when he came back, they also used the same way of traveling at a few times faster than the speed of light into deep space. And then from deep space, they used supersubstantiation or teleportation to travel to instantaneously arriving at another location in deep space. And then from that location in deep space, they traveled a few times faster than the speed of light and then arriving on Earth in Australia for him.
So was it right around the 10 days that he was gone?
Yes, he was gone for about 10 days, and he actually spent 9 days on the planet Theoba.
And just wondering, did he sleep? Were there normal activities up on this planet, or were things different, out of sorts?
Well, he certainly slept on the planet. And he had a lot of very interesting dreams that told what was going to happen in the future. But it's very interesting that sometimes dreams can foretell or maybe tell the things happening in the past or the future. And the planet Dilba had a lighter gravity, so he had to be really careful about his activities, like moving around. And also another interesting phenomena is that the colors on that planet were like brighter than on Earth. So he had to wear like sunglasses, like a facial mask, to filter out the strong lights that he was perceiving. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to really open his eyes. And on that planet, he was given the ability to see auras, the ability to see the colors emitted by the people, or also what we call human energy fields. He was later also given the ability to understand all the different languages in the universe because he met another ET from a different planet. And then there were also other events that happened on the planet in which he was taken into going into the Akashic record and saw what happened about 14,500 years ago when the continent Lemuria in the Pacific Ocean sunk into the ocean. And he was told that the Lemuria and Atlantis were two continents that really existed on Earth 14,500 years ago. Especially on the continent of Lemuria, there existed a very advanced civilization on Earth in which people used anti-gravitational force and also supersonic vibrational systems to build the statues on Easter Island and also a pyramid that's three times as large as the Great Pyramid in Egypt. They built a Great Pyramid. They built a pyramid as a tool to communicate with planets outside of Earth. So it's actually like a tool, a communication tool, because the pyramid can concentrate or accumulate cosmic forces so that the forces can actually allow the users of the Great Pyramid to have stronger energy to be able to communicate with other planet people on other planets. He was also told that the pyramid was also a tool to make rain, because with the help of different metal alloys, clouds would form on the sky in the sky, and then rain would come down as people wished. So I find that very interesting, because there are some recent modern studies saying that the Great Pyramid can actually cause organ energy to form, and thus they can really use that kind of energy to make rains. Mm-hmm. And this is a recent study, like only a few years ago.
Were there some warnings that those ETs had?
Exactly. This is actually the purpose of the ETs taking the author Michel Marquet to their planet. This is not a book of prophecy. It's actually a book of warnings by the ETs. They're saying that we are at a very critical moment of time, and we really have to look out and make the right decisions. Otherwise, they're going to have some kind of disasters or catastrophes happen on Earth. We have been focusing too much on the material aspect of life and not too focused on the spiritual aspect of life. And they say that men exist for the purpose of learning spiritual lessons and to develop men's spirituality. So if we too are too focused on the material aspects of life, we are going to turn like jealousy into hatred and turn hatred into wars. So it made a lot of examples of what happened in the past on other planets and also on Earth, where people really didn't pay attention to developing spirituality, and wars and nuclear wars occurred, and events, unfortunate events happened. This book is very interesting because remember, like, he was taken by the ETs for the purpose of reporting everything happened to him, and to document exactly what he saw and felt. And he said that this group of ETs is the same group of ETs that actually took Enoch to God, quote-unquote God, because Michel Demarquet found a lot of similarities in the descriptions of Book of Enoch to what he actually saw and experienced. So he says that this is like a very, very stern warning from the ETs. We really need to take this book seriously and to change or mend our ways. Otherwise, remember what happened to Enoch and his great grandson Noah. So he is implying that similar things would happen in the future if we really don't focus our spirituality.
Samuel, I'm afraid we are out of time. So your closing comments, and then tell folks where they can find out more information.
Well, they can search on Amazon the title of the book, Theoba Prophecy, T-H-I-A-O-O-U-B-A, Prophecy. And they can also search on Google or visit my website, chinasona.org/Theoba, T-H-I-A-O-O-U-B-A. With the capital letter T, or Google my name, Samuel Chong.
And we've got those links, by the way, up in episode 513 on paranormalradio.com. Samuel, it's a fascinating story, and I appreciate you sharing it with us tonight.
Thank you for having me here. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, my pleasure. And thank you, folks, for tuning in for yet another weeknight into the Paranormal Broadcast. We'll be back again for you tomorrow night. A little bit of an insight on what we're going to be talking about tomorrow night. We're still sniffing that one out. It's going to be a little bit, a little fishy. So just come here tomorrow night when we're back for another Into the Paranormal to check out our shows that are behind the paywall. You just go to paranormalradio.com and then click on Podcast Plus, and you can access those shows dating back all the way to 2016, especially for those of our new listeners. We've got some good stuff back in the archives and some new stuff as well. And of course, rolling out those archives immediately after the weeknight show. So you become a member of Podcast Plus, and then you can immediately hear the weeknight show on your schedule. From the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest, I am Jeremy Scott. Good night, everyone, and God bless.